Thanks for joining us on Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle. We're here every weekend with messages intended to draw you deeper into God's Word. As you do that each week, you'll draw closer to Christ and know Him more.
If we are bold to speak the gospel, we can absolutely expect Satan to threaten us, Satan and all of his minions, which are many and varied. So let's pray for one another. Let's look around this room. Let's pray for one another. Pray for me. I would call you to pray for me. And let's pray for one another as brothers and sisters that we would speak the good news with boldness.
Here's Rich with the background for the lesson today.
Welcome to Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, and we have been studying the subject of evangelism, and we're planning to continue in that subject over the next few weeks. And I know it's a daunting subject, it's a scary subject, so much so that you might be tempted to tune out on this message. I would encourage you to hang with us as we look at Ephesians 6. I believe God has such encouragement to us. While the subject of evangelism creates almost a fear that's palpable, that we can almost physically feel inside of us, God has a means by which we can overcome our fear and actually be used as His instrument. And there is nothing more joyful, nothing more life-giving, nothing more peaceful, more hope-filled than being used by God to simply tell others that He loves them, that He sent His Son Jesus to die in their place, and that He offers them a home in heaven if they would just simply believe. So let's open up our Bibles to Ephesians 6 and be encouraged from the Lord. God has a way to overcome our fear and be used by Him.
When I ask you to do a mental exercise with me this morning, exercise is good anytime, but when it's cold out, we need to exercise a little bit. Think for a moment with me of the top three reasons you would give for why you do not witness as you want to witness. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I believe there's a desire in you. God's placed that desire. It's a holy desire to be a witness. And without exception, I've never known anyone to say, I witness as I want to witness. There's always, for every person, some obstacle. And so what reasons would you place in your life for why you do not witness the way you want to witness? You know, I believe if we look around, you kind of writing those reasons down in your mind right now, I believe if we could read each other's minds, we would discover that the person's list in front of us and beside us is very similar to the list we've made, perhaps the very same. There are a few more reasons than these three, but here are my three. I'm going to go in reverse order. So my number three reason is I just don't think about witnessing. You know, I get busy with life. And there's a whole bunch of things to do, and oftentimes witnessing doesn't make my things to do, and I just sort of walk past the opportunity. So it's not on the top of my mind and my heart. So that's the third reason I would give. Number two reason, I don't know how to start a conversation. I need some more tools. You know, how do you introduce the subject to somebody without it seeming so abrupt, with not feeling like it's sort of knocking the door cold salesy type of thing, where it just feels like, oh, this just doesn't seem natural, right? So how do you start the conversation? The number one reason that it would be on my list is I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'll offend the person. I'm afraid I'll make the person uncomfortable. I'm afraid I might say the wrong thing and not even know it. So that's my three. How does your list compare? Through our series, Pray the Miracle, we hope that you are strengthened in your soul so that you will overcome any of the obstacles that stand in your way of being Jesus' ambassador in the world. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are an ambassador of Christ. That's your identity. It's a new identity. And this world, it needs to hear the gospel. It needs to have light shining in the midst of darkness. And you and I are God's means to bring light to shine into darkness. And so in this series, we're just encouraging us as the first application, really the main application we're focusing on this month is simply to begin to pray. Pray that God would stir our hearts so that we won't neglect God's priority of witness in our lives. pray that God will open up doors for us to begin conversations that point other people to Jesus. Pray that God will give us words so that the message is clear, it's not muddled. And pray that God would give you courage, give you faith, and give you boldness to face your fears, the fears of rejection, the fears of reprisal. This morning we open our Bibles to Ephesians 6, a great chapter on spiritual warfare, and we learn that witnessing is actually part of the spiritual battle that Paul is describing, that we face a real enemy, and this real enemy is hindering the witness of Jesus going forth from the church of Jesus, that this is a battle that every one of us should expect to face. We shouldn't be surprised by it. Now, Paul is so bold in the gospel witness that he is now, as he writes Ephesians 6, he is in prison. So Ephesians is also one of those four prison epistles that we talked about last week. And he's in prison for one reason. He's just committed to share the gospel, to talk about Jesus everywhere he goes. And so he's imprisoned in Rome. It's a 2-year imprisonment. And yet here in prison, he doesn't feel strong in himself. He doesn't feel bold in himself. In fact, he feels weakness. The sharpened claws of fear scratching at this man's soul. And that's rather remarkable because we think that Paul, of all people, would never, ever be hindered by fear. And yet here we find Paul asking the church, pray for me, pray for me. And he said twice, says, pray for boldness. And then he says, did you get it? Pray for boldness. He uses that word twice. Pray that I would be bold in my witness. You think, well, how much more bold can you be? I mean, you're so bold that you're in prison. And yet he knows that there is this temptation to begin drawing back on the boldness, drawing back on his witness. That it is painful. You know, Paul's a guy like us. He didn't like to be in prison any more than you and I would like to be in prison. It's not that Paul's just really enjoying prison life, you know. And he realizes, you know, if I pull back a little bit on my witness, I won't have as many consequences. I won't have people hate me as much. I won't have people condemn me as much. I won't suffer the consequences of losing my freedom, possibly losing my life. And so look what he says. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. I like this translation. Pray in the Spirit at all times, verse 18, and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan. The good news that is both for Jews and Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador, and so pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. You can feel the battle inside of Paul's soul as he asks for prayer. It's a real request. Not just saying because, hey, you know, I guess I should ask for prayer. He's like, oh. As he talks about the spiritual battle, he recognizes this is where the demons are clawing at him to move him away from boldness. In his humanity, he feels the pressure to find relief from the suffering the gospel brings by simply being more quiet about it. And so he says, pray for me, won't you? Won't you pray for me that I wouldn't retract my voice from the gospel? Here's the main idea we're going to trace through today. The mission God gives to every disciple of Jesus requires courage. This is the mission. And for those of you who served the military, you know that if you serve the military, it's just going to require courage at times. You're signing up for a battle. You're signing up to be put in harm's way. It's true for a policeman or a fireman. You know that this job requires courage. So if you don't want to be courageous, don't sign up because that's what the job requires. And that's true of the follower of Jesus. That's why when Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, he's saying be ready to die because there's suffering associated with following Jesus. The church of Jesus knows that. We follow him together. This isn't sort of a dance through a flowered wood. This is a war. And so if we are bold to speak the gospel, we can absolutely expect Satan to threaten us. Satan and all of his minions, which are many and varied. So let's pray for one another. Let's look around this room. Let's pray for one another. Pray for me. I would call you to pray for me. And let's pray for one another as brothers and sisters that we would speak the good news with boldness. Let's pray. We're going to look at three aspects of boldness. First, I want to talk about the beauty of boldness. Now, admittedly, boldness is not always beautiful when we see it in this world. Lots of people in this world are bold, and yet it's sort of ugly kind of boldness. You know, we think of Hitler's boldness to challenge the nations, both to the east and the west of his country, to a fight to the death. That's pretty bold, isn't it? To challenge the nations to the east and the west at the same time to a big fight. That's bold. That's an ugly kind of boldness. We think of Hamas's boldness to cross the border and take glee in the destruction of families, especially women and children. That's bold. We think of a high school board's boldness to demand that biological females welcome biological males into their locker room. Man, that seems incredibly bold to me. I still can't believe that's happening in our country. That's bold for a school board. Yep, we're going to demand that. Well, that's bold, right, to say that and to do that. We think of an angry fan's boldness in cursing a referee. Have you ever been at a sporting event? Has a referee ever made a bad call? And do you ever see anybody being really bold toward the refs? That's boldness, right? It's boldness, but it's not beautiful. We think of Satan's boldness to tell God that Job is faithful only because God is blessing Job. That's really bold, to challenge God. Much boldness in our present world is not beautiful. Much boldness is grotesque and dark and ugly. So if we're pursuing boldness, it's right for us to ask, what kind of boldness am I pursuing? Am I pursuing the kind of boldness that's actually lovely, beautiful? Well, how can I tell the difference between beautiful boldness and ugly boldness? Well, ugly boldness is fueled by selfish desires, by fleshly anger, and by fear. And so if the heart motivations that's presenting when you're bold are selfish desires, I want what I want and someone stand in my way, fleshly anger, I'm very upset, or fear, I'm afraid of what's going to happen if I'm not bold in this situation. It's not the kind of boldness that God commends in Scripture. Beautiful boldness is motivated by love. And that's what makes it beautiful. It's bold and it's love for God. It's love for others. It is our flesh that produces ugly boldness. It's the Holy Spirit in us when we are filled with the Spirit and walking by the Spirit that produces a boldness that's exquisite in its attractiveness. So boldness, defined by Oxford Dictionary, is a willingness to take risks and act innovatively. It's confidence or courage. I like that definition. We have to, again, apply the gospel to it in order for it to be beautiful. Christian boldness is a willingness to take risks out of love for God and out of love for other people. In other words, it risks our own welfare, it risks our own comfort, risks our own security out of love. Christian boldness is a willingness to act innovatively so that others will be spiritually enriched. And there's a risk to acting innovatively. Innovators aren't treated well in this world, but it's a kind of innovation that desires to innovate, to make change in order for the church to flourish, to bring glory to Jesus. Courage and confidence, the dictionary says that Christian boldness is a courage and confidence to stand up against everything in this world that takes a stand against God, His holiness, His goodness, His justice, His righteousness, His glory. We need this kind of boldness in Jesus' church in order for the church to be beautiful. Examples of this beautiful boldness in Scripture abound. I mean, they're all over the pages. You know, I think of Moses' boldness in confronting Pharaoh, this guy who enslaved God's people and was treating them mercilessly. Moses stands before him with his brother Aaron, and he speaks to the ruler of the political realm of that day, the ruler of this empire. He says, God says, let my people go. Isn't that beautiful? Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? That's a beautiful scene, isn't it? The simple guy in shepherd's clothes, a little staff in his hand, goes before a guy who has armies at his disposal. And he says, thus says the Lord, let my people go. That's bold. Not a beautiful story. I think children in particular are drawn to the beauty of the beautiful, bold stories of Scripture. they're drawn to. You ask a child, what's your favorite story in the Bible? Almost, I don't know, 95%, that's my guess. Did you know that 76% of all statistics were made up at the moment? But a huge majority of them are going to say, what? David and Goliath. Why is that? Because here's this little guy being incredibly bold. And he's bold for the Lord. It's not because he's angry. It's because he loves God. He says, how dare this guy defy the Lord who covenanted with his people? How dare he? And so these little kids, you know, they're drawn to these stories. What other stories in the Bible are so bold that children love? Because they're so beautiful. There's a beauty behind them. We often, as adults, we forget the beauty of them. You know, it's Daniel being told he can't pray. And what does he do? He marches up to his window, opens it so everybody can see. He kneels like he always does, and he prays. And he's thrown into the lion's den. That's bold to do that. When the emperor tells you you can't do it or you're going to be executed and you go and do it anyway, that's bold, isn't it? Or Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Everybody needs to bow at the sound of this horn. And here they are. Nope, not us. And they're doing it not just to be defiant, not be fleshly because how dare you boss me around. No, they do it because they said, I can't do it. I'm willing to do anything for you, emperor, but I can't disobey and dishonor the Lord. I love him too much. In fury, the ruler throws them into a fiery furnace and he discovers that they're not touched. Here's the stories of these bold actions. You think of Esther. Isn't that a beautiful story, Esther? If I go before the king and he doesn't summon me, I'll die. But in boldness, she goes and she talks to him about her people. Bring redemption for them. I love the boldness of Peter and John in Acts 4. Remember, this is only 50 days or so after the public crucifixion of Jesus. It's still fresh in their memories. And they're speaking to the people about Jesus and the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees. These are the ones who had Jesus crucified, get really annoyed at him. And they come after Peter and John now. And Peter and John are proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. They're doing so publicly. And so they're arrested. That's bold to do that 50 days after Jesus is crucified. And they're bold. They're put in prison. Here's what Acts 4, 7, 8 says. When they had set them, when the leaders, the Sadducees, had set them in their midst, they inquired, by what power, by what name do you do this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, that's where boldness comes from. It comes from the Holy Spirit. That's why you have to pray for boldness. It doesn't come from inside of us. Filled with the Holy Spirit, says to them, and here's what he says in Acts 4, 10. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you as well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. There is no salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And here's what the story tells us, and that's bold, man. And in Acts 4:13, Luke tells us, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated men, yet they're talking with such skill about the Old Testament scriptures, they're astonished. And it says, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. I love that. Where did their boldness come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit, and it comes from them having spent time with Jesus. That's where our boldness comes from. The story is describing this beautiful boldness produced by the Spirit and possessed by everyone who spends time with Jesus. It's impossible to abide in the vine, to abide in Christ, we'll say to fellowship with Jesus, to spend time with Jesus, and not be changed so that our hearts begin to exhibit this beautiful kind of boldness. Boldness fills our Christian faith with beauty. Boldness produces the fruit of realized hopes, of sacrificial love, of spiritual encouragement, of eternal meaning, of enduring perseverance. You know, the Apostle Paul talked about the fruit of his boldness when he was in Thessalonica. And here's what he says in 1 Thessalonians 2. He says, for you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you is not in vain. So why was it not in vain? In other words, you know that when we came to you, our coming, our ministry to you was fruitful. Why? Although we had already suffered and been shamefully mistreated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. So why was Paul's presence in Thessalonica
fruitful?
Why didn't just say, oh, it was a nice visit, but nothing big happened? Why did something eternally significant happen when Paul came to Thessalonica? He explains, he says, even though we had just suffered and been mistreated in Philippi for sharing the gospel, remember they were beaten and thrown in prison, remember the Philippian jailer? He says, nonetheless, we had boldness in our God. The Lord granted us boldness to what? To talk about the good news of Jesus Christ. That's it. Paul's boldness to share the gospel is so beautiful, and it fuels this eternal impact upon the people that he's around. If Paul had lacked boldness, his life would have lacked eternal impact. And that's true for you and me as well. Do you want to have an eternal impact? Or do you want to say, oh, I knew this person, but nothing significant happened because I was in their life? That's a terrible thing, isn't it? Isn't it something that you want to say, because I live in this neighborhood that I live in, the people around me have, God grants eternal impact on their life because I'm here. Isn't that what everybody wants to have? Isn't it one to have it when you go to work, you say, the people around me, there's some people around me who will receive the eternal impact of God's grace in their life because I'm here. If I wasn't here, there wouldn't have been impact. Don't we want to say, my family who I'm placed in, my cousins, my uncles, my aunts, my mom and dad, my son and daughter, there's eternal impact because I'm in this family. That when I go to a family reunion, conversations are had. There's light that shines about Jesus that otherwise wouldn't shine. And what does our impact connect to? It connects to this boldness. If we're not bold, then guess what? We, you know, eat fried chicken at the family reunion, but nothing good happens. Nothing spiritually good happens. You know, we go to work and we're a good employee, you know, we're a good teammate. And they say, oh yeah, I remember that guy because they helped me on a project, or that gal, and she helped me on this project, really helpful. But really, that's where it ends. That's a really dull life, isn't it? It's boldness that connects us to God's work of eternal impact on everyone who lives around us, everyone he places in our sphere.
Rich will have some closing thoughts about today's message in a moment. Would you tell others about Knowing Christ Radio? We love to have new listeners join us as we try to know Christ more and more each week. Here's Rich.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We pray that this message doesn't produce guilt inside of you so much as encouragement. You know, the Apostle Paul, who seems to be a really bold person, still recognized how fear still clawed at his soul when it came to sharing the gospel boldly. And that's why he prayed and asked for prayer regarding boldness. Well, we need boldness. We need the Holy Spirit to work in us. And we want to encourage you to Knowing Christ to connect to God and to his work, and specifically the work of sharing the gospel with others. God has set light in your soul, and he wants you to be light. We know that to be true. There's a resource that we believe is helpful. It's called Questioning Evangelism by Randy Newman. We think it would be an encouragement to you as you think and pray over this subject of evangelism in your life. Please contact us. Ask us for this book. We'd love to send it to you free of charge. We'd love to hear stories also about how God is using you to share the gospel. That would be a great encouragement to us. May God strengthen you and grant you boldness this week.
Were you blessed by today's message? Why not download a free copy and give it to a friend? Invite them to join us each week on this station. You can download a copy at knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org. And while you're there, select the Contact tab and send us a note on how God is using this program, or share a prayer request with us. It's such an encouragement when we hear from our listeners. Thanks for listening today. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.